I am very interested to see what you guys think about this. Nick Saban, Alabama head coach. They are in College Station for a game Saturday night against Texas A&M. They are 26.5-point favorites. Now, obviously, Alabama has a number of players from the state of Texas who were affected by Hurricane Harvey. Here was Nick Saban addressing that specific topic in his news conference yesterday.
You know, we did a lot of things for our players in Texas, especially those that had issues relative to the, you know, hurricane or flooding. You know, I haven't really thought about it, to be honest with you. Maybe that's a mistake on our part, but I haven't really thought about it. You know, we sort of go on these trips like they're a business trip, and that's what we should be focused on. And, you know, it's kind of like my dad used to tell me, you know, when I used to go to work at the station, my girlfriend broke up with me, so I was treating the customers bad. And he said, "What's wrong with you today?" And I said, "My girlfriend broke up with me." He said, "Well, you know, you got one problem, but if you keep treating the customers bad, you're going to have two more. I'm going to fire you, and then I'm going to whip your ass for getting fired. So you're not going to have a girlfriend, you're not going to have a job, and you're going to get your tail whipped. Whatever happened in the hurricane happened, and it's a bad thing, and we want to support everybody every way we can. And we certainly did that as much as we could. But if we don't go out there and play a good game, they're going to have all the problems that they had from the hurricane, and then we're going to have a problem that we lost." So it kind of goes back to what my dad said, I think.
He just would have been, if he just wanted to, he, look, his point is a good one. He just shouldn't have told the story about, he should have finished that story off with like, "And then I went home to my house that hadn't been flooded and I hadn't lost all our possessions," because at the end of the day, losing your girlfriend in high school ain't nothing like, what the hell are you talking about, Nick Saban? I feel bad. I honestly feel bad for Nick Saban in this situation because, like, Nick Saban knows he has issues relating to people. And I feel like he was trying to, like, I'm going to try to be a little human here and relate to people. And it just blew up in his face.
The situation would have been made a whole lot better if he just stopped talking, because at first he basically sounded like he was a little bit apologetic for not having done more. And right. Then he just keeps going.
But he did mention that they had done things for the players right. That were here. But it's a matter of, okay, now you're traveling back. He hadn't really thought about it. Sorry.
But, right, which, again, isn't that much of a problem. But then he gets into the allegory thing, and yeah. This is one of those situations where being short and succinct is very easy to do. Something I should be taking into account during Texans press conferences with DeAndre Hopkins and stuff.
No, that's right. We haven't played that yet.
That's right.
This is the whole thing, but too, this is what I would say, as far as with Nick Saban or any of these other people, like, all right, we all understand Saban is probably a little bit on the spectrum somewhere, right? Like, he just doesn't, he's wired differently. Like, he just sees something differently. And like, with guys like him, I just feel like, all right, look, this is not his forte. It's not like he's an evil dude because he's misspeaking about this or anything. He just shouldn't have told that story because losing your high school girlfriend is absolutely nothing like your entire family losing everything they've ever owned or loved in a flood. You know, like, it's just, they're two separate things. That's all.
Fair. I agree with that.
Okay, good.
All right. Travis Kelce, the Travis Kelce Tool Tour. We have 3 days. We started yesterday. We continue today. We need to get Paul's opinion on Travis Kelce, what he's like on the field. Here's Kelce with some players.
Boom! Woo! Big Paul got hit there with the... Yeah. Hey, man, boy!
9-9, how you doing there, brother?
Keep working. We working.
Can't stop y'all.
Listen, man, we're going to keep working. We're going to keep working. Hell, we keep doing this show, we do.
Come on now, y'all. Come on now, y'all. Woo. Was you scared?
Hey, you know what? I'm going to have to just hit the weight room. We're going to have to get in the weight room. You know what? That was going to help. You making plays like that? You making money, son.
Is Travis Kelce a sophomore in high school who just discovered rap? I think that's what the hell is he doing?
Listen to him with the Caucasian trainer on the sidelines. This is between those plays where he sounds like that. This is him with the white Chiefs trainer as opposed to what you just heard.
Hey, can you call my mother for me from that phone right there? Can you call my mother?
I don't know if I can use it on the sideline.
And tell her that I don't want the macaroni and cheese with the regular noodles. I want the gnocchi. How do you say it? Gnocchi?
Ganache.
Gnocchi, ganache. Ganache noodles.
Yeah, I'll get right on that.
Yeah, not the regular noodles, the ganache noodles.
I got you.
All right, so he's pretending not to know what gnocchi are, and he's a chameleon. He's a racial chameleon.
No, he's a loser fraud. He is a loser. Anyone that goes to this length to try to impress other people because they are wired for sound is an absolute loser. He is the epitome of fraud. Yeah. He wishes he was Rob Gronkowski. Gronkowski's just a dumb soul who actually acts like that in real life.
He's just a big dumb meathead.
And then in this situation, what were you watching? Like a montage of every single time that Terrell Owens has been mic'd up, and you're like, yeah, I'm gonna do this. We're gonna add a little bit of, you know, like some sort of talk.
No,
you
know, he should have. I'm surprised he didn't get on the phone and do the old Shannon Sharp. But call the police. Call the firefighters. Call it. Yeah. Now this is this is what when Travis Kelce at some point in this game, Travis Kelce's gonna get a first down and he's gonna do his little hip gyrations and everything.
His
like Travis Kelce
signal.
Is everything that's wrong with the modern athlete. Like Travis Kelce is the embodiment of the things that are wrong with it. Not just this generation, any generation. Anything that was wrong with the greatest generation was that's Travis Kelce. Anything wrong with any generation.
On a serious note.
Just a horrendous human being.
On a serious note, the Texans should be talking mad trash to him in this game. I don't know if you guys are aware of Jason Kelce's existence. Jason Kelce
basically
keeps Travis in check, which is my favorite thing, whether it was on the actual reality
TV
show.
His brother, Jason.
Right. There's a situation on his reality TV show where he basically like said that the only people that get manicures and pedicures are the people that smoke crack in their spare time. And Travis says, I don't smoke crack. Kelce also said before the game between the Eagles and the Chiefs that Travis, if you talk any trash to him, will respond. And clearly, every single week, Travis
Online.
Has been very close to getting a penalty, if not just getting a penalty, for being a stupid buffoon. So I feel like if I'm the Texans, I'm chirping at him
who's who's the best at baiting guys into penalties?
On the Texans' defense?
Yeah, I'm trying to think
of who
that
might be. It's a good question. I don't know.
If it were DJ, the problem with DJ would be back in the day. Now that DJ Swearinger is like an elder statesman in the league and like highly venerated.
You feel like Cushing would have been.
Cushing perhaps.
But he's deposed.
That was the guy, yeah.
What about McKinney? Because you don't feel like McKinney's going to do something wrong himself.
I don't think Medardic's necessarily a big smack talker.
I don't think so either. That's the problem.
Come on, step it up, fellas.
I mean, I guess Watt can.
Yeah. Next one. We've lingered on you guys and your obsession with Travis Kelce. This is what you should be obsessed with. Anthropomorphic, hypersexualized robots are no longer just the stuff of science fiction fantasies. In fact, mechanical lovers are becoming increasingly realistic and technologically advanced. So this website, YouGov.com, which claims to have like 2 million people that respond to surveys, they say that 1 in 4 men would think about taking on an automaton lover. What they didn't report in this is that 3 in 4 men are damned liars. You're telling me they asked a bunch of men, would you ever have sex with a sex robot? And 1 in 4 said, I might think about it. Oh, you're lying. What the hell? How do you lie to a survey taker? Let's do our own little survey. Landry, would you have sex with a sex robot?
No.
Oh, stop it. Are you kidding me?
Sounds painful, man. Robots always think metal and everything.
It does sound painful.
Like you could say maybe like inflatable doll or something. I might consider it, but robot sounds painful.
Dude, they're talking lifelike like you can't tell the difference between them. I'm talking like a lifelike sex robot that's as good as a woman.
But what's the material?
Yeah, what's the material?
I'm not a freaking engineer. That's not my problem.
These are important questions when you ask me that one.
Yeah. Like I was thinking like you're going to be humping a heap of scrap metal or something. Like,
yes!
It's not going to be that.
But what does the robot look like? That's my question. Like,
it looks hot. That's what I'm telling you.
I want to see what it looks like.
They're gonna, what they're gonna do is they're gonna ask you like, on your scale of 1 to 10, what's like a 3? And we'll make it look like a 3.
No.
Like,
Meltzer,
what do you think it's gonna look
the
like?
The robot's gonna come into Meltzer. Meltzer's gonna be like, so what did your parents do growing up? What is your job?
Paul, would you?
Michael sleep in the same bed with a robot for 3 weeks before he ever makes a
That robot looked like Heidi Klum, but her, you know, she didn't go to college.
Look, I'm a depraved individual, so I would definitely think about it. I mean, and also, the only thing that's weird about it to me is that it's basically somewhat necrophilia-ish,
yeah,
isn't it? Because
it does kind of feel that way.
Because I imagine.
Well, it was never living, so it's not dead.
Right.
Yes.
But it's a big object that is.
You're not like saying like, can you animate a corpse for me? That's
right.
How I am.
Because I imagine it's not like it's going to be moving.
In my mind, it's a sex robot like from the movies where it's just like it might as well be human. Like you can't even tell that it's not a human.
Someday it'll be like that.
Yeah, that's where I think you guys are all. So
if it gets to it like that,
I'm the
25%.
Apparently, I'm the 25%.
There's more than 25.
I cleared this with my wife. She was like, "Good riddance, good riddance,
good riddance." That'll do it for Mad Takes. Gallant is hanging out with us today. Evan Drellick will join us 9:15. He knows the Red Sox and Astros as well as anybody. 9:15 on the show.